I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Give an honor to God who was first in my life, to the awesome angel of this house, and none other than Reverend Dow LaRue Armstrong, to this pulpit, to the ministers of the gospel and the clergy that are here in this house today, to this awesome choir of God, to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I greet you this morning with Jesus' joy, a joy that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. It is good to be here. This is home for me. And everywhere I go, I let it be known that Shiloh Baptist Church in Trenton, New Jersey is my home church. And that Reverend Armstrong is my pastor. Before I get started, I just want to give God glory and honor also for the musicians. This awesome choir, the officers of this church, in the name of Jesus. And I also want to give glory and honor. It's a beautiful thing, church, when mom and dad will get up at 8 o'clock for their son. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Give honor to God for my sister Roz, who was here from Maryland today. My brother John, who's a member of Shiloh. And if anybody is wondering, First Lady McBride is with me. The same one I left with is the same one I brought back today. I said it before and I'll say it today. She's still the apple of my eye. In the name of Jesus. Come on, sweetie, stand up one more time. She don't like this church. But when you have someone that is precious and beautiful, Amen. You want to let the whole world know. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Before I get started, I want to also give glory and honor to the Parham family, especially my good brother, Deacon Parham, in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to be careful this morning. I love all of y'all. Let me get it straight right now, all right? But there's some special folk. And I see Sister Philistine Chester back there with Sister Willis and so many of you. I thank God for you in the name of Jesus. But there is a word from the Lord. And I ask that you all at this time would stand with me and turn into the book of 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. Sister Betty Young, God bless you. And may heaven continue to smile upon you. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And for your hearing this morning, I'd like to start reading at verse number 12 through 16. And then I'm going to ask you to skip down to verse 20 through 23. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, say, hold on. For the word of God is good for everybody. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, starting at verse number 12 through 16, and then 20 through 23. The word of God reads as follows. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Skip down to verse 20. Then David returned to his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovering himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all of your house." Somebody say hallelujah. "To appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. And I will be even more undignified than this. And will be humbled in my own sight. But as for the maidservants in whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. This is the word of God for the people of God. I ask that you would pray with me on this thought in the name of Jesus. Have you ever danced for God? Have you ever danced for God? Let us pray. Most holy and all wise God, Father, you're worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Even when things don't look right, you're worthy, God. Father, we come today to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Father God, as I stand here behind this sacred desk, hide me behind your cross. I ask, Heavenly Father, that let me decrease that you may increase. And then, Father God, I pray that when you finish speaking through your servant, somebody will hear the gospel. And they will come running asking, "What must I do to be saved?" And then, Father God, for those of us that with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, that already has confessed you with our mouth and believe in our heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, Lord, I pray for a closer walk with thee. Holy Ghost, have your way. Heal somebody. Free somebody. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Let all of God's people say, amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Ushers, God bless you today. As the Lord was speaking to me, this word dance. I looked up in a dictionary. I know what it says in the secular. But I looked up and it says dance is a type of art that generally involves movement of the body, usually rhythmic and to music, performed in many different cultures and used as a form of expression. Social interaction and exercise or present in a spiritual or performance setting. It also said that dance may also be regarded as a form of non-verbal communication between two people. Dance can embody or express ideas, emotions, or tell a story. When you dance for the Lord, what is your story? I know what your story was when you danced in the world. Think about it. We all danced in the world to worldly music. Some of us, saved and sanctified, are still dancing to worldly music. And let me just say this, brothers and sisters, from the back door to the pulpit. I used to dance. I used to party, church. I even used to dress up in my finery and make sure the head was groomed. I used to dance in the Word. Come on, I just want to make it plain, because if you haven't danced in the world, then this sermon's not for you today. But I'm almost positive, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, you weren't always saved. The question is, have you ever danced for God? I remember as a young man, not only did I get dressed up, and as I said earlier, let me just go back. As I said earlier, dancing is not only non-verbal communication. It also, not only does it tell a story, there's a sense of intimacy. Come on, somebody. And I don't know about you all, but when I used to go to the party, I used to single out a young lady that just quenched my eyes. And not only for me, young ladies, women now, but young ladies, you did likewise. You canvassed the place to see who was the handsome one in the party that night. And isn't it interesting? For the world, all groomed up. Ladies, your hair was prepped to one side or the other. The dress or the skirt was pristine. Men, our shirt collars were just right. But before the night was over, we let our hair down. We didn't care what we looked like at the end of the night. We danced and gave everything for the world. As I was, the Lord was dealing with me, I thought about two individuals, two awesome entertainers of our time. One was James Brown and Michael Jackson. I knew you partied. James Brown, the godfather of soul. Michael Jackson, known, the world gave him the name King of Pop. Isn't it interesting, my brothers and sisters, what titles the world will give you? But the last time I checked, there's only one godfather. And there's sincerely and truly only one God who is King. But even looking at their story, entertained, bright lights, plenty riches, did everything they wanted to, but guess what? If I'm not mistaken, before they left, they died in misery and pain. Misery and pain, dancing for the world. And let me bring it home, because if you dance for the world, you also dance for Satan.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Don't y'all get quiet now.
Amen.
Don't get quiet now because I mentioned Satan's name.
Amen. So
because the truth of the matter, he's real.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But we serve a God who has all power.
Amen.
Boy, did they dance. Remember, dancing is nonverbal communication, emotional. It tells a story. It's intimate. But in all of their dancing, the question is, were they famous and popular? Yes. Were they rich and wealthy? Yes. But in all of that, they were in misery and pain. Michael Jackson. Injections just to cope. Incubators to change the texture of his skin, because he wasn't even happy in what God had blessed him with. Come on, somebody. I heard it said in Matthew 16:26, for what is it a man profited? And let me make it clear, because in that 26, it asks two questions. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And then the second question, well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How much money is enough? How big does the house have to be? How expensive does the car have to cost? How much popularity do you need to feel like somebody? The truth of it is this. None of it will get you into the kingdom of heaven. Many of us that are sitting here today, we don't dance anymore. And not so because we can't. It's time takes its course. We don't move the same way anymore. We can't get out there with the folk today and do all of those moves without hurting something. But every once in a while, when we hear one of them old worldly songs, something happens inside. See, I know I'm in the right place now. In the name of Jesus. Many of us don't dance today anymore physically. But many of us are still dancing around God's commandments. Let me give you an example. I'm glad you asked me. You remember Peter, the leader of the disciples, one of the main three with James and John. Over there in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus asked the disciples, who do they say I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But listen, he knew him intellectually, but he didn't know him spiritually. Here's the reason why I say that, because if I go further down into Matthew, the 26th chapter, the Bible says that when Jesus was before Caiaphas, almost to be crucified, the Bible says that Peter denied him three times. The question is, brothers and sisters, as you sit here today, as holy and sanctified as you want to be, when the rubber meets the road, will you deny Jesus? We're living in a time, I just found out this morning that just last week, a 20-year-old young man was buried here. I wonder how many of us crossed his path but never told him that there was a better way. Our street corners are filled with young boys and girls, with boys with their pants down, girls with their skirts too high. But who goes by and say, God loves you and he has a better life for you? Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, we have become so sophisticated.
Amen. Preach it.
And selfish.
Preach.
That we take this gospel as if it is only for you and
Amen.
I.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But let me make it clear. God didn't give you or I anything that he didn't want us to share with somebody else. And I believe when you share it, Trenton, New Jersey will get better. Girls will grow up to be young women, and boys will grow up to be men.
Sister,
I wasn't even planning on going here, but God is good. All over town, we got women growing up, boys and young men. Men need men. And the last time I checked, you don't have to be the biological father to be a man in somebody's life. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Peter.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
who told Jesus who he was, that he was the Christ, the Son of God. Later, when trouble came, he denied him three times. Church, brothers and sisters, have you denied him recently? When somebody comes up to you and says, weren't you the one walking with Jesus? What will you say? And not only, the Bible says, not only did he deny him three times, if you look down in that same chapter in verse 74, it says, then he began to curse and swear, saying, I don't even know the man. Listen, now I understand, Sister Betty. You can't dance unless you know me. You can't dance, church, unless you know God for yourself. You know, I could go and talk about religiosity and Christianity. Religiosity is something on the outside. It ain't nothing happening on the inside. But when you have Christianity, God, the Holy Spirit, manifests himself. You can't help but dance. David danced. Not only did he dance, he was even despised by his own wife. And brothers and sisters, if you're going to be on the battlefield for the Lord, sometimes you got to stand when nobody else stands. Amen. But let me even take it one step further. When you stand, you're not by yourself. Amen. Emmanuel will be with you. The one who will never forsake you nor leave you. But the question is, do you know him? Do you know him? And I mean, do you know him without a shadow of a doubt? Yes, yes, yes. See, it's okay to say you know him from your intellect, but do you know him from right here? Yes, yes. When every heartbeat beats, do you call on the name of Jesus, thanking him for another heartbeat? Every breath that you take, do you thank him for the next breath? Every blessing that comes your way, do you glorify God? See, in this sophisticated society, we want to thank ourselves as if we have done something. The last time I checked, when I got up this morning, it wasn't an alarm clock. God looked down and said, get up. And now that I'm up, I feel like dancing for the Lord. David, dance for God, because David knew God. You go back even in Samuel, the first book of Samuel, gives David's story in the beginning. The Bible says that in chapter 16, that God anointed David as king at the age of 16. But he had to wait. And let me make it perfectly clear, because if God is elevating you, sometimes you gotta wait. See, often we just want to go and jump on out there, but if it's not God's time, you're just gonna make a mess. David had to wait. My Bible in Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, yes, yes, yes. I say, on the Lord. Amen. Anybody can give a blessing unto God because you're waiting.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. David danced. And for David, it wasn't about form or fashion. It was not about who liked him. It was about God. Because I could hear David saying in those 14 years waiting until he was ordained as king. I can hear him saying that, God, you are my bridge over troubled water, my heavy load sharer, the lily of my valley, the bright and morning star, the one who made a way out of no way, who one who made my crooked road straight and smooth over some rough places. Because even back in 1 Samuel, David had to do some fighting. You remember Goliath? 9 foot tall. David, even to his own people, they was afraid of man. But David said, you cannot blaspheme my God and get away with it. David went into Saul and said to Saul, I'll go out. But David says, no, you're too young. But David told him, I got the Lord on my side. And brothers and sisters, when you got Jesus on your side, you are more than a conqueror. There's nothing you can accomplish as long as you got King Jesus. But he danced. What did Goliath say to him? You come to me with a stick and some rocks? David says, no, I come in the name of Jesus. Let me pause right there, because somebody in here is going through something. And whatever that something is, you got to look it boldly in the face and let that something know that I am a child of God. Come on, church. That young boy, those young people out there, they can't see Jesus because you and I walk around with our countenance low to the ground. Get up and allow God's light to be seen in you and I. I tell my church all the time, if you sure enough got the Holy Ghost, there are some things you don't have to pray for. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you already got power. Power to look the enemy in the eye and says, yeah, you might have me today, but wait at midnight. My God's going to show up. And what I love about God, when he shows up, he shows out. How many of us waited on God and we asked him for something? But when he showed up, he gave us more than we asked for. Oh, I like being home today. Because there's many of you already knowing for yourself. And it's good to be in the company with other saints, y'all. There's power in the church with other saints, y'all. In the name of Jesus. But David knew, even as we go into 2 Samuel. In the beginning, David is anointed now physically as king of Judea. But he had to wait. Because at the same time in chapter 1, King Saul is killed. Now, let me make it clear. King Saul killed himself. The Bible says that he was struck with a spear with a serious wound. And he asked one of his servants to kill him because he didn't want to be abused by the enemy. And the enemy said he honored King Saul. So Saul, the Bible says, Saul leaned over on his own sword and killed himself. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. In chapter 2, there's where King David is anointed of king of Judah. And at the same time, Saul's son, Ishbosheth, was made king of Israel. But God wasn't done yet, church. Amen. You got to wait on God's appointed time. In the name of Jesus. In chapter number 3, the war broke out between David's house and also Saul's house. In chapter 4, Ishbosheth was murdered. And in chapter 5, David becomes king of Israel. But here's what I love about David. The Bible says that David had to fight against the Jebusites. Amen. He had to clear them out of the land. But not only that, my Bible also tells me he had to fight against the Philistines. Amen. And the first time before he fought against the Philistines, he asked God, "Can I go up against them?" And God says, "You already have the victory." Brothers and sisters, don't step out on your own.
Amen.
I know you're saved and sanctified, amen, but don't step out on your own.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Trust in the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
With all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways. And guess what he'll do? He'll direct your path. I learned something, church. When I talk to God first, I don't get as many knots on the back of my head or bruises on my backside. And I don't know about you, the older you get, they hurt just that much more. So I've learned to call on him in the name of Jesus. But here's what I love. Here's the reason why David danced. After he got rid of the Philistines the first time, they came back again. And God told him, go wait under the mulberry tree.
Amen.
And he says that when the leaves start clapping, it'll sound like men marching. Come on, somebody. Did you know for yourself that God's got an army?
Amen. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, he said, the trees will clap and it'll sound like an army. And the Bible says that God went before him and slew the Philistines, where the people of God didn't have to lift a hand. Somebody, you don't have to fight your battles. Give them to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I understand the reason why we can't see God high and lifted up. Because we got our eyes too much on our troubles.
Amen. Preach it.
You don't have to fight them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God is big enough. He's bad enough. He's powerful enough to fight them for yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And here's what I love about God when he fights them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Nobody can talk about you at all.
Preach.
Nobody can accuse you of nothing.
Preach.
You can continue to bless God, but don't do like the world to pray for him anyhow. Let's go directly to the text. The Bible says that after many years, the Ark of the Covenant was not with God's people. And when David became king, he thought it was right and justifiable to bring the Ark back home. And let me say something, brothers and sisters. The Ark of the Covenant was that bronze-covered box with two poles in it to carry, only by the Levites. Inside of that box was a jar of manna, the two tablets of the commandments, and come on somebody, the rod that had budded. And the Bible says on both ends there were cherubim, angels facing one another. With their wings, seraphims out far. And in the middle was the mercy seat. And anytime the ark was with God's people, it was as if God was with them. Now let me talk about today. You don't need no ark. Jesus Christ replaced the ark. All you got to do is believe and call on him in the name of Jesus. You don't have to carry the ark nowhere. He's already inside of you. I don't know about for you, but that's good news, church. I don't know about David, but that makes me want to go into a dance, church. Hey, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. But the Bible says, David got 30,000 of chosen individuals of Israel. These were leaders, church, leaders and elders. And he said to them, let's go get the ark and bring it back to the city of David. But here's where David messed up. The Bible says when he went to Obinadab's house, his sons, Ahio, and also his other son by the name of Uzzah, they put the ark on a cart. And they said as they were leading, following the cart, the oxen stumbled and the ark looked like it was going to fall off the cart. And Uzzah grabbed hold to it. And the Bible says that immediately God killed him right there on the spot. Brothers and sisters, let me just make it plain. You better reverence God. We better stop taking God for granted. Because God, not only does he give life, he can also take it right from you. And let me make it plain. When you come into the house of the Lord, you need to come with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. Everything else, leave outside. Too often we come in here with attitude. And we wonder why when we leave here, nothing has changed. I don't know why, because my God is a change agent. He's a fixer-up agent. If you come right, God will show up. Oh, Lord, somebody know what I'm talking about. David, the Bible says David became afraid. And David had every reason to fear the Lord in church. If you don't fear God, and isn't it interesting? We fear our boss, our spouses, and we live in a time now where we even fear our kids. But we don't fear God. David realized, first of all, he realized that he didn't go to God first. Because God gave them a commandment back in Exodus that says you don't put my on a cart. He says that the Levites were to take and put the ark on the shoulder, poles on their shoulder and carry me. Anytime that you get out of doing what God says, something gonna happen. But thank God that he's merciful. He gives us a chance to get it right. In the name of Jesus. And the story goes on that he was fearful. So he took the ark to Obed-Edom. And the Bible says that he left it there for 3 months. And then someone came and told him that the house of Obed-Edom is being blessed. And it wasn't that day because of the blessing. The reason why David discovered now, let's go back and get it, because he felt that the anger of the Lord was over. And they bought it. They went up and they got the ark. The Levites carried it. And the Bible says, even when they started, they took 6 steps. And David says, in the presence of God, I can't make a 7th without worshiping the Lord. And let me make it plain, brothers and sisters. When David cut the calf and the fatted calf, that was a way of worshiping. Amen. You don't have to cut nothing. All you got to do is come to God with a pure and a clean heart and worship God. I understand. I haven't been pastoring that long, but I'm getting a better understanding. And when I see folk come to God's house, awesome songs of Zion going on. Effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous that avails much has been preached. Proclamation of the word. And you see folk. Don't even move. And guess what? If you move, they even have the audacity to talk about you. But do like David did. Dance anyhow. Dance anyhow. in the name of Jesus. Because they don't know what God has done for you. In the name of Jesus. Hey, hey, you want to tell your story? Dance for God. You want to see more folks get saved? Dance for God. In the name of Jesus. Keep sitting there if you want to. And going home and nothing got any better. You ain't doing nothing but fooling yourself. If you want something from God, you gotta come in here to get something from God. When I come into the house of prayer, I expect God to do something miraculous. See, the problem is if we can't see God, we have a tough time believing God. But what I love about God, even today, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being in the house one more time. Even though I can't see it today, I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. Wednesday, between next Sunday, I just believe whatever I need, he's already provided. Hey, Jehovah Jireh, not the one that will provide, the one who has already provided. You just got to walk in it. And the Bible says, time getting long here. My minister friend over here said, yes, sir. But the Bible says that David brought the ark to the city of David, and Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. Church, I want to believe before there was a James Brown and a Michael Jackson that David was already moonwalking. You know that favorite move of Michael when he swirl around, put one hand in the air, and then he grabs one hand with his crouch. Let me tell you something. David put a hand in the air and grabbed his heart and said, thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's separate the world from God now. David could dance. The Bible said he whirled around before the Lord. And she despised him. If you dance or not, if you stand for God, somebody ain't gonna like you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And let me even bring it a little closer. Because I'm not talking about the world now. I'm talking about those right in your congregation.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just as soon as you want to get a praise on. They'll take their program and put it up. But they ain't looking at the program. They peeking over and around and at the program talking about it don't take all of that. But let me tell you something. It takes all of that, church, and some in the name of Jesus. And let me talk to somebody who feel like dancing. Go ahead and dance. Don't let nobody steal your joy here, church. Because the devil has sent somebody next to you in your same row, behind you, in front of you, to try to take what God has already given you. Let me give you a secret. If you see him looking, just close your eyes. Close your eyes and dance like you're out your mind. Come on, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michael said to him, how glorious, and she's being sarcastic now. How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids and his servants as one of the base fellows. Let me tell you something. If God done something for you, you better forget about your hairdo. Your starch clothes. You better just get up and praise the Lord. Because guess what, church? It might be your last time. And I don't know about you. If it's my last time, I want to go out dancing for the Lord. And then it says, so David said to Michael, it was before the Lord. I don't know who you are in here. But when I dance, it ain't for you. It ain't about you. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. And here's what I love. Not only did he say it was before the Lord, he says, who chose me instead of your father. Listen, listen. Her father was King Saul. And King Saul wasn't chosen by God. If you go back and read the story, that was what the people wanted. Samuel went to God and says, the people want a king like the other nations. I don't know about you all, but it ain't one God, and that's the only one I'm going to serve. In the name of Jesus. Not only to appoint me over the people of the Lord, over Israel, therefore I will play music before the Lord. And I will be even more undignified than this. And while he humbled himself in the sight of the Lord, but all of his maids served. In other words, he says, they will still honor me.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, I know we came in here today dignified. You come out your top, your suit jacket, go ahead and dance. Come on, if you want to take off that dignified hat, go ahead and dance. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to dance. He's been good to me. But listen, but listen. Listen, I'm going back around the board table. Listen. And the last verse in 23 says this. And Michael never had children for the rest of her days. Church, let me tell you something. I'm going to take my seat. Not only will God bless, but God also curses.
Amen.
I come by today to tell somebody, stop playing with God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Isn't it interesting, even in the text, because for some of you, you may not know it, Michael was David's first wife. But everywhere in the text, it identifies her with her father. And the reason why was because her father was full of pride. And I heard it say, the apple don't fall far from the tree. In the name of Jesus. Do you want blessings? Get undignified. Don't worry about what folks say about you. Don't worry about what you look like when you leave. Just know that I dance for the Lord. Come on, somebody ought to be just about dancing. In the name of Jesus. I thank God today. I thank God that I've learned how to dance. I thank God that I don't care what you think about me. As long as he knows about me. As long as he keeps blessing me. In the name of Jesus. And guess what, church? I could never dance like Michael and James Brown. But I'm asking him, Lord, let me dance like them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me spin around. Let me whirl around. Even let me back up and say, thank you. In the name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Everybody say. The doors of the church are open.
When the Spirit of the Lord fell on me, I danced like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord fell on me, I danced like David danced. You sing! When the Spirit of the Lord fell on me, I danced like David. With the Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord fell on me, with the Spirit of the Lord, I dance, I dance, I dance, I dance like David, I dance like David dance, I dance like David dance, I dance like David dance. With the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord fell on me. I dance like with the Spirit of the Lord.
The doors of the church are open.
Fell on me. I dance with the Spirit of the Lord.
With the Spirit of the Lord.
Is there one today? Is there one in the pardon of your sins that God has spoken to your heart and says, come.
I dance.
In the name of Jesus. Is there one today? Is there one? Come on, is anybody willing to dance for the Lord today? Is there one?
Everybody say, come, let us worship.
In the name of Jesus.
Come, let us worship. Everybody, everybody worship. Come, let us worship.
Let the church say, amen.
Come, let us worship. Come, let us worship.